Last week we talked about Christian soldier, and not the soldier who's out on the battlefield now who needs to be a Christian, but the Christian who the Bible describes as being a soldier. So tonight what I want us to do is talk about the Christian athlete. And I'm not talking about whether you're athletic or not. I'm not talking about whether you're on the ball field or the basketball court. I'm talking about the fact that the Bible describes Christians with athletic terms. What verses, what phrases do you think of in the New Testament that sort of indicate that Christians are sort of like athletes?
Run the race.
Fight the fight. What else? Now, fight the fight was mentioned last week for soldiers, and now it's mentioned this week for athletes. Well, which one is it?
Both.
Oh, so you're going to say both. You're going to go the political route and just take both sides of that question and say it's both sides. Well, fight the good fight, that involves being a soldier. Is there any fighting involved in athletics?
Boxing.
And Paul uses that terminology. Say it again.
Ice hockey.
Yes. I mean, that's why you go see a hockey match. It's not for the score, that's for sure. It's for the other things that happen. Any other verses or phrases that you think of that indicate here we are and we're like athletes? Say it again. Are there wrestling terms? When Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Then it says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Does that indicate that we do wrestle? Yeah, we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Verse 12 says, so there's wrestling terms. Now, I don't know if any of you are good at wrestling. I know some of you were good in your day, maybe back in school. Maybe you could used to take your kids and wrestle them. I don't know, Chet. I think your kids could probably take you. I mean, Kenzie, I mean, he's pretty weak now. I mean, you could take him now in some sort of wrestling match. But any other verses? Any other? Just seeing if you're paying attention. Any other phrases you think of? Here we are as Christians, and the Bible uses athletic terms. Now, why would it do that? Why use athletic terminology to talk about being a Christian? Say it again. Easy to understand. Do you think Christians in the first century understood anything about athletics? They lived in a world where the Olympics were even probably a bigger deal than they are now. Because now we've got sports galore, and we just happen to get the Olympics, and they're just one of. But Olympic Games, they were a big deal. They understood athletics. We understand athletics. And so when those terms are being used, what would you call that? When it says that the Christian is an athlete, what would you call? Why would God use that kind of terms?
Imagery.
Imagery. It's helping us to see. Cain, were you raising your hand or just putting your arm around Fran? Okay. Say it again. Okay. So there's a lot of similarities. There's going to be a lot of similarities that we're going to see between athletes and Christians. And there are things we understand about being an athlete that we can take and translate those over into being a Christian. And see those same things. So here's what I want to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 is the verse that we're going to kind of grab some thoughts from tonight. We looked at verses 3 and 4 last week when we talked about the fact that Christians are soldiers. As those verses talk about next week, if you want to read ahead, we're going to look at a whole verse 6 next week. So we're looking at the whole verse 5 this week. But we're looking at what does it mean to be a Christian athlete? And we're going to see about three things here in regard to our role as being an athlete. And hopefully what this is going to do is it's going to help us to understand me as a Christian better. That's why God uses this terminology, is to help me to understand what am I? What is my responsibility? What is my role? What is my activity as a Christian supposed to be? So he uses this phraseology for us. So first thing we're going to see in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5 is that a Christian athlete must exercise, here's a word we don't like, He must exercise discipline. And he must exercise self-denial. Well, grand. Those are just fun topics to think about, right? Discipline and self-denial. I don't know. Some of you are looking at me like, let's skip that and talk about donuts and coffee or something a little bit more exciting. Where did we get the idea from this passage that we are to exercise discipline and self-denial? This says also, and also if anyone, here's what the New King James says, if anyone competes in athletics. Does your translation say something different than that? Sadie, I heard something, but I didn't understand a thing. You got something different than competes in athletics? Competes as an athlete, American Standard. Strives for masteries. That's the King James. Strives for mastery. What in the world? What are we doing? The word striving is an athletic term. But somebody who's striving for mastery. Somebody who's competing in athletics. We have multiple words here, but it really just comes from one Greek word. Now look, I put the Greek word there just so you can see. Guess what word we get from that Greek word? I mean, that's pretty obvious, right? Here's a Greek word, athleo. What does it mean? It means somebody is involved in competing and striving in an athletic competition. Is it possible to be an athlete but not strive? To not really compete? June says, not a very good one. Say again? An armchair athlete. There's a lot of good armchair athletes, right? The guy sitting on the chair watching the ball game, he knows so much more than the coach does. He knows so much more than the quarterback does. Johnny, he knows so much more than the refs do. He can see it all. And so that the armchair athlete, boy, he is the most talented guy not on the field. So here we are being described in the Bible as athlete. Now, just for a second, go over to Philippians. What's interesting is this word athleo, this is the only verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, this is the only time that verse is found in Scripture. But I want to show you another one where it's not the exact word, but it's a compound word that's used here. And I want you to see if you can find the word that is like athleo in Philippians chapter 1. Go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians 1, 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you, Christians, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What word in that verse do you think is like the Greek word athleo? Striving. Now, If you got a translation like the one I just read from, what's the word you have after the word striving? Together. And that's the word that's used here, the Greek word that's used here is that word athleo, but it puts the word for together in front of it. It's soon athleo. It means we are being athletes together. When God looks at you as a Christian and calls you an athlete, are you on your own team? Are you like a golfer? And when you're on the golf course, when you're a professional golfer and you're on the golf course, who's on your team? Okay, some of you are going to say your sponsors and your wife and your children. Who's on your team? Who's going to help you? Who's going to help you get the ball in the hole? Who's going to assist you? Who's going to give you an assist? When you're a golfer, you're the one with the club in your hand, and you're the only one who can swing that club, and that's it. Is that what you are as a Christian? Are you a Christian golfer? Some of you are golfers, but you're not Christians when you're doing it, so that's just something to think about. But are you somebody who's all by yourself? No. When we're pictured as athletes, as Christians, the idea is that we are all competing together. That's what we're supposed to be doing. On the same team. Do Christians sometimes get on opposite teams? Is it possible for Christians to fight against one another? Has that ever happened? Is that God's design? If you look at this entire context, starting especially in verse 27, and you read on down through about the next 14, 15 verses, you ignore that chapter break, and you just read on through it. This is a section where God, in fact, look in verse 27 again. Here's what I want to hear about your affairs. That you stand fast in, what's the word? You stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What's the context here? He's starting to deal with a matter of unity that he wants them to have. And so right here at the beginning of this context of unity, he's saying, guess what, athletes? You're not alone. You need to be fighting together, striving together, competing together for the sake of the gospel. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about some of that perhaps next week. But when we get into this study of what am I supposed to be as an athlete, and when I start thinking about there are some sacrifices I need to make, there are some disciplines that I need to bring into my life, the one thing I want us to see is that we're not doing this all by ourselves. We're not supposed to be doing this all by ourselves. We're supposed to be encouraging each other, working together as a team. You know, even if somebody is sitting on the bench, maybe you were that person who was sitting on the bench, or maybe you were the one who was, you started the game, but after a while the coach took you out because you were winded and he put somebody fresh in the game. Now you're sitting on the bench getting some rest before you go back in. Even somebody sitting on the bench, can they be involved? Can they be encouraging? Are they just sitting there like doing nothing? Well, sometimes they're just doing nothing. But hopefully, even though, so what's the idea? We're all on a team. The whole concept is that we're supposed to be working together. And Christian athletes, we take this seriously. I've watched a lot of kids playing sports over the years. My own kids and other kids, I've watched them from the time that they could barely stand up and run, and you had about 12 of them chasing the ball all together. They were all lumped together. You ever notice that about children's soccer, Bill? I mean, you've coached soccer a lot, and even the little kids, they don't know how to play positions in soccer. Their position is just get as close to the ball as possible. So you have all the kids and they're all surrounding the ball. And those are fun games to watch. But all the way up, have you ever seen some athletes who didn't take what they were doing seriously? Some players on the team that weren't really serious. They were just messing around, weren't really involved. Now, for some of you, maybe that was you, but maybe for some of you, you were the complete opposite of that. You were the one on the team who was taking it more seriously than anybody else. You were the, and I won't point any fingers, you were the hyper competitive person on the team. See, I'm pointing my fingers down. I'm not even looking at any of you when I say that. But you were the hyper competitive one on the team. And you were going to make sure that everybody was doing everything right down. But then you had these silly kids on the team that they were just not really. And you put all of them on the same team together. How does that work? You got these hyper competitive people who just want everybody to do what's right and do it perfectly. And then you got the ones that are just like, hey, I made the team. Woohoo! I made the team. Nobody thought I was going to make the team. And you all didn't want me to make the team. But I made the team anyway. And now I'm on your team with you. And you put all these people on the same team. How's that work? Well, it's an interesting combination, isn't it? God wants us as Christian athletes to take it seriously. So here's some things. Let me back up that for a second. Here's some things that a dedicated athlete will do. And I think if we look at these as an athlete, whether a football player, basketball player, whatever, see if some of these things are true. And then see if they should translate to being a Christian. Dedicated athlete will keep to a schedule and he won't let anything interfere. He's going to mark out his practice schedule. He's not going to let anything get in the way. He's going to engage in his prescribed workouts and training. He's going to live a strictly separated life. Think about this in relationship to some Olympic athletes. Have you ever watched any documentaries or any videos about what Olympic athletes put themselves through in order to prepare? Do they start getting ready? Let's see, what year is this? It's 2017, so we don't have the Summer Olympics for what, another 2.5 years? When will they start preparing for the Summer Games of 2020? That'll be the Summer Games of 2020. So they start getting ready like what, March or April of that year, right? I mean, that's when they start really getting serious about what they're doing. Is that true? If that's when you start getting serious, are you going to make it to the Olympics? If you buy a plane ticket and you buy a ticket to get in the gate, maybe you will, but you're not going to be on the team. When do they start preparing for the 2020 Olympics? Depends on what country you're in, right? Have some of them already started competing or already started training right now? It's only almost 2018, but still 2017. The games aren't until 2020. Are they already preparing? Are there some that won't qualify for the 2020 Olympics, but they're getting ready for the 2024 Olympics already? Why? Why are they doing that? That's not for another 7 years. Are they serious about it? They're serious about what they're doing. They live a strictly separated life. They control their appetite and they follow a rigid diet. They push themselves to do more and do better all the time, and they set a standard of fitness and they won't deviate from it. And obviously there's some overlap in all of that. But is that, would you say that's generally true of dedicated athletes? Is there anything there that could apply to us as Christians? Self-discipline as a Christian. Self-denial as a Christian. Is there anything I need to be doing now to prepare myself as a Christian for things that are yet to come? You know, so some of you are still living in the luxury of your parents' home. And I generally say that in this direction, knowing that it's not just people in this direction that applies to, but I'll just say it to these people in this general direction, that you're still living in the luxury of your parents' home. You're still living in the luxury where you don't have to buy your own food. Is provided for you. There's that magic thing called the refrigerator, and you just go open it and whoo, there's free food. You go to the pantry and wow, mom stocked it again. You've got free food. You've got free lights. Everything's provided for you. But is there anything that you all could be doing now to prepare yourself for the day when, it's not free anymore. It's not provided for me anymore. That's, guess what? That's why you're going to school. Yay, school, fun times. That's why you go to school. Here is the reason you go to school, so that you don't live in your parents' house forever. Not the reason, but that's a big reason. Why do you go to school? So that you can prepare yourself for the time when I need to be independent. I need to be living on my own. I need to be providing for myself. I need to have my own family. There's things you're doing now, believe it or not, prepare for that day. Now, as Christians, is there anything I need to be doing now to prepare for the future? Are there things that are yet to come, perhaps, in my life that I can be building my stamina for now? I've talked about basketball practices before, and I hated basketball. Well, I loved basketball practice until the last 15 minutes. Basketball practice was pretty good till the last 15 minutes of practice. You know what you do the last 15 minutes. If practice didn't go very well, it could be the last 30 minutes of practice. The coach says, you know, we're just going to take... You know what the last 15 minutes of practice is, don't you? Suicides. Aptly named. Suicides. And coach would put that whistle in his mouth, and buddy, you were running back and forth and back and forth on that court. Why? Tell me, if you're a basketball player, Shooting, yes. Defense, yes. You know, getting into an offensive drill, yes. But why are you running suicides? I mean, you need to be working on your shot, don't you? You need to be working on the 2-3. You need to be working on the zone. You need to be working on something like that, right? Why do you need to be running? So that when you get in the game and the fourth quarter comes, you're not dead. You've got stamina enough that you're going to make it to the end and the other team's not. And that applies to all sports, obviously, well, except for golf, I guess. But all sports, I guess, you know, that you've got to have that stamina to get. Now, what about, does that apply to Christians? Is there anything we need to be doing now? Don't go run suicides tonight and think, boy, that's going to help me be a stronger Christian. It might. I mean, I don't know. You can figure that one out. But is there anything I need to be doing now to prepare myself for the fourth quarter? Prepare myself for a time down the road where I need stamina in order to remain faithful to my Lord. You see, an athlete understands that his discipline as an athlete is not something he does in his spare time. Here I am as an athlete. Here I am as an Olympic athlete. And pick one. You want to talk about Bolt? You want to talk about Phelps? You want to pick whatever athlete you want to talk about? And do they just? Does Michael Phelps just swim? Did he just swim in his spare time? I mean, he had all of these other things that he would do, and then maybe on Thursday afternoons, if he had a couple hours, he'd run down to the pool and do some swimming. It wasn't a spare time thing. It was his whole time thing. Can I be a Christian in my spare time? When it fits my schedule? No, there is a discipline that I've got to bring to myself in my Christian life that says, whatever God looks upon me and asks of me as a Christian to do is something that I dedicate myself to wholly. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Do I have 1 Timothy 4 up there? I think I do. Yeah. Look at 1 Timothy 4. Some of you like verse 8, I know. Bodily exercise, prophets. A little. Does that say it profits nothing? No. But it puts it into context. Verse 8 says, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. So how do I attain to a godliness that is profitable for all things? Back up into verse 7. Reject profane and old wives' fables, and then do what? Exercise yourself toward godliness. Does God tell you to exercise? Just did. The Greek word that is used there is the word that we get the word gymnasium from. God tells you as a Christian, get down to the gym. Exercise. Work out. How do you do that? Give me some practical, real things that you do as a Christian in order to accomplish that verse. Reading the Bible. Studying. Visiting. Praying. Worshiping. Serving. Teaching. Being around my brethren. Exercise yourself. Get in the gym. Now, what am I exercising toward in this verse? Toward godliness. Exercise yourself toward godliness. Because, what's your first word in verse 8? You have the word for there? Exercise yourself towards godliness. Well, why should I do that? The word for means because. Because bodily exercise, you're so concerned about that, it's only going to profit you a little. But godliness is profitable for all things. Why? Because it has a promise of the life that now is, and what else? The life that now is, that is to come. So when I exercise myself toward godliness, is it going to help me in the life right now? Absolutely. But it also has the future in mind as well. So that's my goal as a Christian. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 for a second. We'll come back to this. We'll come back to this passage if we have just a minute at the end. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. What does Paul say? And I want to look at these other verses in a minute, but I just want us to focus on the just part of verse 27 for a minute. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Do athletes have to do that? I mean, does Michael Phelps... Suppose Michael Phelps lived right down the street from Dunkin' Donuts, because I know all of you do. And suppose Michael Phelps lived right around the street from Dunkin' Donuts. And so his daily regimen was to run, of course. He couldn't swim down there. That would be ridiculous. But he would run down to the Dunkin' Donuts, get a dozen, and run back home. And he's earned a dozen donuts by running down the street and getting them. Is that going to work for him? No, he's going to become a whale, perhaps, in the pool and not really win a whole lot of competitions there. What does Paul mean? I discipline my body. Bring it into subjection.
King James.
Yes. What does the King James say?
I buffet my body.
Yes. Some translations, some pronunciations would be, I buffet my body. And that would be at the Dunkin' Donuts. But when I buffet my body, and that's not a Jimmy, what does that mean? What does it mean to discipline my body? Is it telling my body no when it wants to say yes? Is there a lot of that that I need to do as a Christian? Are there certain lusts of the eyes and lusts of the flesh? There are certain things, even as when it comes to those kind of things, that I need to say no to. Yeah. Say it again. Okay. I am bringing my body into subjection and telling myself what I need to do and what I don't need to do as a Christian, and that is a constant process. Where I am training myself and teaching myself. But that's what an athlete does. An athlete trains himself to the point that... Have you heard of athletes having... Or anybody, for that matter, it's not just athletes. Of individuals having muscle memory? What is muscle memory? You've done it enough times that it is just automatic. This I know how to do this. Some, say it again. It's rote. Why is it, and some of you have gone through this process, why is it that when somebody has hip surgery, knee surgery, or hasn't had hip surgery, knee surgery, or leg surgery, but has been in the hospital for a long period of time, why is it that they have to go to that place called rehab and that they have to be taught how to do something that they did for decades in their life, taught how to walk again? What? Why? They've been doing that all their life. What's that? Okay. Their muscles, now that there's been this change in their makeup, their muscles need to learn this again. We have muscle memory. Do you even think about brushing your teeth? I mean, I hope most of you do that. So I'm not asking you, do you think about doing it? But when you brush, do you brush your teeth the same way every time? I would guess that the majority of you do. Some of you probably don't. All right, some of you, just for the fun of it, will go home tonight and try to brush your... Here's the thing. If you go home tonight and try to brush your teeth in a different way than you normally do, you're going to get messed up. It's going to feel weird. I don't know, you know, if you usually start on the outside, by the way, you're supposed to brush the fronts and the backs. You're supposed to brush everything in there, just to let you know, okay? But wherever you normally start, if you start in the front, the back, the right, the left, the inside, wherever you, if you tried to start in another place tonight, would you get all backwards trying to, wait a minute, where am I supposed to go? Why? Because you've trained yourself. Somebody say something? You've trained yourself. And most of you could probably do it with your eyes closed. Maybe you do it with your eyes closed. It's just natural. When you shave, You probably start, sorry, Josh, but the rest of us normally shave. But normally you would start in the same place. And if you tried to start in a different place, you'd be like, oh, wait a minute. That's not, because you just, now, don't answer this out loud, but because you do things because you've trained yourself over and over to do them, and you just do them automatically, have you ever been taking a shower and thought, did I wash my hair or not? Some of you, I'm not making a hair joke, by the way. David, I'm not making a hair joke here, okay? But have you ever thought, wait a minute, did I do that or not? Why? Because you just get into a routine. Now, what does all that have to do with being a Christian? We need to train ourselves so that what we do as a Christian is not so awkward. Doesn't feel like brushing our teeth backwards. It becomes who we are. If we will talk to individuals on a regular basis about Jesus, if we will talk to individuals on a regular basis about the gospel and about the church, if we will start making it a habit to invite people to worship, guess what? It won't be awkward anymore. It won't feel out of place anymore. It'll just be who I am. It's just what I do. That's what an athlete does. He trains and trains and trains so that it just becomes natural and becomes automatic. That's why discipline. That's why self-denial is important for a Christian. Any comments on any of that? I didn't cover it that good. Okay, so second thing. Second thing I think we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, and that is if we're going to compete as athletes, guess what we have to do? We've got to compete according to the rules. Oh, no, not rules. Those are horrible. We don't like rules. We don't like commandments. We don't like laws. But if you are an athlete, do you have to conform yourselves to the rules, to the standards? The runners in the Olympics, they get themselves down in their starting blocks. When are they allowed to take off? Can they take off as soon as they get themselves set? No. When are they allowed to take off? They got to wait for the gun. What happens if they take off early? Oh, you get yourself disqualified. So there's a rule that says you start when the gun goes off. And if you don't follow that rule, you're out. And that goes for all sorts of rules in athletics. Johnny, have you ever thrown anybody out of a football game? That's a silly question, isn't it? Yes. Simple answer. Thank you. So, why would... maybe I shouldn't ask. I'm just going to ask this in general. I'm not going to ask it to Johnny. Why would you throw somebody out of a football game? They break the rules?
They get you disqualified.
Okay. But sometimes somebody breaks a rule and they just take that thing that's shoved down in their pants, that little yellow thing, and they throw it up in the air. Right, Johnny? I've seen them do that. Throw the yellow flag and they get a penalty. But they're not disqualified yet. They just made a mistake. They were offsides. Or they just accidentally were holding on to the guy's jersey and threw him down on the ground. It was just an accident. So they get the flag thrown on them. But do they ever get disqualified? Can they ever do something to the point where you're out of here? We understand that in athletics. Does that apply at all to being a Christian? Are there any rules? Are there any standards that we're supposed to follow? They're kind of laid out for us, aren't they? They're given to us in pretty plain language. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What's he saying? There's a standard. What's the standard in that verse? It's the will of God. Standard is you got to do the will of God. What happens in the next verse? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. The very next verse, Jesus lays out the standard there. And then he says in verse 22, but many will say unto me in that day, not a few, not a couple, but many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? And we did it in your name. We cast out demons, and Lord, we did it in your name. We did so many wonderful things, and guess what we did, Jesus? We did them in your name. What does Jesus say to them in verse 23? What's the D word in verse 23? Depart from me. What does he call them?
Lawless.
You workers of iniquity, you workers of lawlessness. Jesus says, I never knew you. How could Jesus say that? Here's people who are saying, Lord, we've done these things and we've done them in your name. How could Jesus then turn around and say, depart from me? What happened? In the context of what we're talking about tonight, what happened? They were disqualified. Why? They didn't follow the laws. What did they apparently do? They made up their own laws. They made up their own rules, their own standards. Those are a whole lot more enjoyable to follow, aren't they? I mean, I would really, well, I guess in the NBA it works, but for the rest of us mortals who aren't in the NBA, how many steps do you get? Oh, David knows what I'm talking about. You get two steps. When you stop dribbling, you get two steps. Now, if you're in the NBA, you get like seven. But the rest of us mortals, you get two steps. That's the line. But I would like it to be three, wouldn't you? That would work better for me if it were three. Do I get to make up my own rules? My own standards? You know, double dribble? I mean, give me a break. This is 2017. We got to get beyond this double dribble rule. You know, let's let somebody dribble all that they want. All right? I mean, seriously, you want the game to be more exciting? I mean, we could start making up some really fun rules for basketball, couldn't we? But is that the rules? No, there's a standard. There's a rule book that says, here's the rules, and this is how you follow them. If you don't follow them, you're going to be disqualified from the game. And the same thing is true. Some people would look at the Bible as being rigid, as being stiff, as being narrow-minded. Guess what? Do people need rules? Do people need boundaries? Do people need standards? Guess what my unscientific poll states? And I know there's other polls that would show this, but I don't know of any off the top of my head. But you know what my unscientific poll proves? Children that are disciplined in their life go further in life than those who are not. Oh, some of you have taken your own polls on that, apparently, and you agree with that. Children who receive, and I'm not, you know, when we're talking about discipline in this regard, children who are told no in life, children who understand boundaries in life, they will go further in life than those who are not. So is this a bad thing? Is this a bad thing to have? No, God's laid them out for us so that when we stand before Jesus on the day of judgment, we can be fully prepared. We've got to run according to the rules. And it's not just enough to know what the rules are. We've got to follow them. We've got to do what they say. You know James chapter 1. Be not hearers only, but what? Doers. Not enough for me just to know it. I've got to put it into practice. And what's interesting, got a second, or do you know this verse? James 1 and verse 22, where it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You know what the rest of that verse says? Somebody said it. Did you say it, Chuck?
Yeah.
Deceiving your own selves. That's an interesting little phrase to tack on the end there. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay, I got it. Deceiving your own selves. Why tack that on the end? What does that mean?
You can deceive yourself.
How can you deceive yourself to what?
Salvation.
To anything, right? What did you say, Nicole? Just hear it. You know, I go to church 3 times a week. I've heard more sermons in my life than, and you fill in the blank on that. You know, I've heard all these sermons, and I've got all of this Bible knowledge, and I know the Bible inside and out. Great. But what? Am I practicing it? That's the question. I've got to compete according to the rules, and time's going to get us. Whoops, let me throw all this up here. If I discipline myself, and if I compete according to the rules, where am I going? Where do I have my sights set? I've got to press to use the 2 Timothy 2:5 says that this is the person who's going to be crowned with victory. Philippians 3, Paul says, press on to the prize. As an athlete, where you need to be looking? I you all remember Michael Jordan? What? Yeah, I know you remember Michael Jordan. You remember Jordan? Oh, I don't remember what game it was. Remember Jordan when he's on the foul line and he took a shot? Remember when he closed his eyes to take that foul shot? Anybody remember that, or is that just me? Nobody remembers that. He closed his eyes to take a foul shot. That guy was cocky, all right? He had confidence. Well, he scored like 60 points that game. You know, he could score as many with his eye closed as some others could. But most mortals, in order to make it in the basket, where do they need to be looking? You probably need to be looking in the basket, right? If you're running track, where are you looking? You're looking at the finish line. And you know where the finish line is. Now, those of you who ever ran track, where did you run to in order to finish the race? Did you just run up to the tape? Just run up to the finish line? No, we were always taught you run through it. You don't just... Now, you've seen some of those Olympians where they just kind of get up to it and, you know, just kind of slowly cross it because they're all cocky again, thinking nobody's going to catch me. I can just ease over the line. But runners have got to run through the finish line. Do we have our sights set on heaven? Not just enough to run up to it, but to run all the way through our finish line.
Finish the course.
Finish the course, Paul says. Stay in your lane too. Did you say stay in your lane? Yeah. You better stay in your lane. If you're around Chuck, you better at least use your turn signal if you're going to come over in on him. But you got to stay in your lane. You've got to finish the course, and you've got to run through it. Do you know when your finish line is going to be? You know when that's going to be? You don't know when your finish line is going to be. So what does that mean? We keep running and running and run through it and press ourselves. And you know what else runners are told to do? Not just run through it, but lean into it. Are we leaning into the finish line? Pursuing it so much that I want to reach it with all of my heart. We're supposed to be athletes as Christians. A lot of concepts we could have talked about tonight. But let's make sure we're pressing for the prize. Let's make sure that we're going to finish the race. Thank you all very much for your attention tonight.